this is going to be a real quick sermon. But, you know, the question I have for you now is, what do we do when there are these, you know, criticisms or reasons people leave? And I'm not saying that I agree with everything that I just read to you. I'm just passing along the information. Do we need to crawl up in the fetal position and start sucking our thumbs like a baby and just become numb? Do we need to become like Joshua after the defeat at Ai, where he fell down on his face before God and I think he had sackcloth and ashes on along with the other elders? And then God, you know, after he started talking to the Lord said to him twice, "Get up, get up. And, you know, do something." And here's really what I want to just present to you today as we think about this. And go back to, again, 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 5, where I hope if you'll find that in your copy of God's Word. I wanted to go beyond this. If I said I was going to last week, I'm sorry, I'm not really doing it this week. But that last part of it, where it says, "Then each one's praise will come from God." We need to realize that there is praise that will come from God. The scripture over and over again tells us that God is going to reward. In Romans 2:16, "In that day when God will judge the secrets of men by Jesus Christ according to my gospel." Daniel 12:3, "And those who are wise shall shine like the brightness of the sky above. And those who turn many to righteousness like the stars forever and ever." Matthew 13:43, "The righteous shall shine forth as the sun in the kingdom of their Father." Matthew 25:21, "Jesus will say to them on that day, 'Well done, good and faithful servant.'" Mark 9:41, "But for whoever gives a cup of water to drink in my name because you belong to Christ, assuredly I say to you, he will by no means lose his reward." Luke 19:17, "Well done, good and faithful servant." Romans 2:6, "He will render to each one according to his deeds." So I could go over and over again, but Jesus, that God will praise, he will reward those for what they have done and why they have done it. So as you look there at 1 Corinthians 4, verse 5, "Therefore, judge nothing before the time until the Lord comes, who will both bring to light the hidden things of darkness and reveal the counsels or the motives of the hearts. Then each one's praise will come from God." I want to share with you four praiseworthy unseen motives today. Four praiseworthy unseen motives. So, in other words, as we get up and we keep on walking with the Lord and seeking to serve Him and fulfill the ministry that we've been given to fulfill. As for me, I want to endure hardship as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. I want to do the work of an evangelist, and I want to fulfill the ministry which Jesus Christ has given me. That's my goal. I want to endure hardship. I want to do the work of an evangelist. I want to fulfill the ministry which I have been given, just as Paul told Timothy to do. So what are we to do as a church? Number one is this: be motivated to imitate Christ. Be motivated to imitate Christ. In other words, whatever you do, let the thing that is driving you to do what you do to be to imitate Jesus Christ. In 1 Corinthians 4:16, Paul said, "Therefore I urge you, imitate me." All right, why should they imitate Paul? Look over at 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 1. He says it again, "Imitate me just as I also imitate Christ." Or, "Imitate me just as I also Christ." The reason Paul was somebody who could be imitated, mimicked, mimetes is the Greek word, mimicked, is because he was following Christ. So let all that we do be done because we are seeking to imitate Jesus Christ. That's number one. Number two is this: be motivated by sincerity and truth. Be motivated by sincerity and truth. If you look over at chapter 5, verse 8 in 1 Corinthians, here, you know, and we'll get in the context of all this later, but let's just notice what he says. "Therefore, let us keep the feast, not with old leaven, nor with the leaven of malice and envy. Malice is seeking to do evil to someone, or malice and wickedness. So malice is seeking to do evil. Wickedness is to be morally wrong. You're wicked because you are just doing the wrong thing for the wrong reasons. So malice and wickedness, but with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. In other words, it is sincerity because there is no hypocrisy within it. It is the real deal, sincerity. Now, there are a lot of sincere people in the world who do a lot of crazy things. That's why truth is so important here. Sincerity and truth. We are a people of the truth. Jesus said in Matthew 18 to Pilate that he has come to bear witness of the truth. And everyone who is of the truth hears my voice. We are a people of the truth. What is it that helps us know what we are to be sincere about? It is the truth of the Word of God. That informs our sincerity. All right, that's point number two. Thank you for receiving that so well. That's encouraging. Number three is this, motivated by the glory of God. Be motivated by the glory of God. You know what? Whatever anybody else may say of us, before the all-knowing and all-seeing God, He will see a people who are seeking to imitate Christ. He will see a people who are sincere and being guided by the truth. And He will see a people who are living for the glory of God. In chapter 6, verse 19, He says, "Or do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit, who is in you, whom you have from God, and you are not your own? For you were bought at a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's." The glory of God, the name and the fame of God. And you might expect we would go to 1 Corinthians 10:31 as well. If you flip over there, Paul writes, "Therefore, whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do all to the glory of God." The glory of God. The Westminster Catechism, as you probably well know, question number one is, what is the chief end of man? The answer is, man's chief end is to glorify God and to enjoy Him forever. Psalm 135 verse 13 says, "Your name, O Lord, endures forever. Your fame, O Lord, throughout all generations." Why do we do what we do? It's not like those at the Tower of Babel. It wasn't to build a name for themselves, but it's to build the name of God, the name of Jesus Christ, and to make it known throughout the world. The glory of God is why we live. Motivated by the glory of God. And point number four is this, motivated by love. Again, you might have suspected this. 1 Corinthians chapter 13. We see here in this passage in verse 8 that love never fails. Why should we love? Why should we be motivated by love? Love never fails. 1 Corinthians 13, verse 8. And then at the end, it says, "Now abide faith, hope, love. These three, but the greatest of these is love." As we flip on in the Bible in 1 Corinthians chapter 16, in verse 14, he says, "Let all that you do be done with love." And we keep going, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, in verse 14, we see this, "For the love of Christ compels us, because we judge thus, that if one died for all, then all died." So we see this about love. Love edifies. That's actually in 1 Corinthians chapter 8, verses 1 through 3. But he says there, "Knowledge puffs up, but love edifies." We see here that love lasts. It never fails. And we see finally that love compels. Love edifies. You love one another to the degree that you're seeking to build one another up. You love one another that even through the criticisms and the difficult times, it lasts. Because there's a temptation to say, oh, I'm just afraid to love somebody anymore. I'm afraid to get close. Because what if? Love lasts. It never fails. You can keep loving, and we must be motivated by love. But the last one, with Vacation Bible School coming up, I'll say this, love compels. You see, in that context of 2 Corinthians 5, love compelled them to take the gospel to any person. They did not look upon their flesh and say, well, they don't need the gospel, or they can't have the gospel, or they don't deserve the gospel. They said that the love of Christ compels us. So this week at Vacation Bible School, you can look at those kids and we may look at some of them and say, well, they've grown up in good families. They probably know all this stuff already. No, friends. The love of Christ compels us to share with them and teach to them the gospel of Jesus Christ that is the power of God unto salvation to everyone who believes. Do you believe it? Let's pray. Lord, your mercy is great. I thank you for it. And Father, I pray that as we live out our lives as believers, that we would do so to imitate Jesus Christ. I pray, Father, that we would do so in sincerity and truth. I pray, Lord, that we'd be motivated by the glory of God. And Lord, I pray that we'd be motivated by love. In Jesus' name, amen.